Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A mid-morning dance with the devil.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Get up-to-the-minute news flashes, instant reaction and expert analysis from some of the biggest names in Westminster.
Order.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Live from Westminster on Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham right here on Talk Radio. We are live once more from Westminster's College Green on the morning after Theresa May had a brilliant idea. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, the Prime Minister locked her cabinet inside Downing Street for 8 hours with nothing but stale sandwiches and red wine for sustenance. And of course, unfortunately for them, she also told them that they would have to come up with a plan. And now the fact that they don't have a plan is really neither here nor there. But after 8 hours, after some rather boring sandwiches, after some rather dreadful plonk red wine variety of, they decided to come up with this plan. They're going to give the whole of the country's future and they're going to hand it over to Jeremy Corbyn. Jeremy Corbyn, of course, is the man who is the leader of Her Majesty's opposition. He is not the man to lead us out of the Brexit stalemate in which we find ourselves, because Jeremy Corbyn, of course, is against leaving. He's against remaining. He's for a second referendum now, but he didn't used to be. He's for leaving with a deal, but 65% of Labour voters actually wanted to remain. His parliamentary party is irrevocably split between those who believe we should never leave and a few rebels who want to walk away. Does anyone sane actually believe that Jeremy Corbyn, who wouldn't even stay in the same room as Chukka Amuna recently, is going to help Theresa May out of a hole so that he can share the blame for the biggest blunder in modern British politics? Give me a small break. 0344 499 1000. We've got a host of brilliant guests coming up today, including Theresa May's former communications chief, Katie Perrier. But most of all, we want to hear from you, the people that actually know how to fix this problem. And we're going to try and kick off with as many callers as we possibly can in this first hour. So please do call us, 0344 499 1000. You're listening to me, Mike Graham, on Talk Radio, live from Westminster, in the most historic week since last week.
The fallout, the fury, the future.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Live from Westminster.
Order!
On Talk Radio.
So just when you thought, after our show yesterday, when there was lots of talk of compromise, lots of talk of deals being done, lots of talk of finding some middle ground, every single MP that came into the tent of shame yesterday basically agreed that we had reached the point of no return, that we had reached the point where we had to really sit down around a table with all of the people who are interested in finding a way forward here and come up with a plan that everybody could stand around and be reasonably happy with. Even if it wasn't exactly what everybody wanted, at least it would be a move in the right direction. Unfortunately, though, Theresa May has decided that her move in the right direction is to go and consult with Jeremy Corbyn, a man who very clearly has done everything that he possibly can at any stage of this particular ghastly process to put a roadblock in the way of every single thing that Theresa May has tried to do. Every single government motion has been voted against by Labour. Every single amendment tabled by the government has been totally voted down by Labour. And Jeremy Corbyn himself, of course, has had to play this kind of fence-sitting ridiculousness where he pretends that he wants to stay in the European Union when he's talking to people in London, like Sadiq Khan and the various voters in London who voted to remain. And then when he goes up to the north of England, where he talks to Labour's heartlands and says, we will leave because that's what you want us to do, he pretends that he wants to leave. What we do know historically from Jeremy Corbyn, because of his background as a very left-wing socialist, he doesn't like the European Union. He doesn't like its construct. He doesn't like what it wants to do. He doesn't like its overarching global agenda. And he basically is a small-time communist stroke Marxist. That's what he is. I make no bones about that. I don't believe that's an insult. And I'm sure if Jeremy Corbyn thinks it's an insult, that he's moved a lot further to the centre than I thought he actually had. Let's go now and speak to Daniel, who is in Epsom. Hi, Daniel.
Mike, hi, mate. She's destroying my Conservative Party.
She
the
is.
Amount of people that are ripping up. She's destroying the only credible party in the country.
Yeah.
We'll end up with a far left Marxist in number 10. What she needs to do, if she wants to win the next election, right, by a landslide, is we need to remove her right now, put someone like Boris in charge. He says to the EU, we're going to be leaving and we'll negotiate with you after we have left, right? If you look at the latest Comres poll, that no deal is the most popular amongst the electorate. Over 70% of her own membership want that as well. And actually, it's the only clean way of delivering Brexit and moving on.
Yeah.
We will get some short-term pain. I'm sure we will. But we need to use the £39 billion to support certain industries. This is what we have to do to get out of this quagmire and put it to bed, Mike, because she's destroying my Conservative Party, mate. I'm a member, and I can see it. People are taking up their membership cards and cutting them in half.
Yeah, the fact absolutely.
The fact that we would even consider the fifth largest economy in the world, the fact that we would even consider having a customs union with the EU that we don't have a say on, why would we ever do that? We can't make our own trade deals. That's basically the point of Brexit. She has to go. The woman has to go.
Well, I've got absolutely no confidence, Daniel, and I'm sure you don't either, in anything that Jeremy Corbyn and she cook up together. One, I don't think they can cook anything up together, because all of the things that he will want to ask for, he will know that she can't give him. That's the way he plays the game. He's not going to help her out. Why would he want to have his name attached to this ridiculous and useless Brexit agreement that she's about to try and deliver to the public? If I was him, I would go into the talks and just stymie her at every possible opportunity, but not by deliberately doing it, but by asking for things that he knows she can't give her.
But he runs the worst Her Majesty's opposition in British political history. The less we talk about him, the better.
Yes.
What I do want to concentrate on is is my Conservative Party is being destroyed by her because she's trying to appease everyone.
Yeah.
We will have to have a no-deal Brexit, and that's it'll be painful, but most hard things in politics are. I'm sure that all the things in our history were difficult. Well, they were difficult, but we had to do them. And we're Britain. We have to leave the EU without a deal. And the moment we leave without a deal, they'll be bending over backwards to do a deal with the fifth largest economy in the world. But because she's had her own ministers conspiring against her and people trying to ban a no-deal Brexit, that's why she's got such a terrible deal. The best deal for us is to leave without a deal. Everyone's saying it in the country. Most people want it.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Daniel, great way to kick off the show. Thank you very much indeed for making that point. 0344 499 1000. The idea that Jeremy Corbyn is going to save us and get Theresa May out of the Brexit hole that she has dug for herself is absolutely and utterly ridiculous. We've already got one resignation this morning. Nigel Adams is the first cabinet minister who has quit because of Theresa May's Brexit compromise with Jeremy Corbyn. He says he's accusing her of cooking up a deal with a Marxist who has never once in his political life put British interests first. And I've got a tweet here from Bottomley who says, Mike, have you got the resignation klaxon ready? It could be a busy morning. So I think we should put you guys on notice back in the studio. Get the klaxon ready because we might be having some resignations. We'll also be checking in, of course, with the Brexit countdown clock to nowhere. This is Talk Radio.
Get up to the minute news flashes, instant reaction and expert analysis.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Live from Westminster.
Order!
On Talk Radio.
If you got trouble,
I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you.
If we stick together, we can see it through. Cause you got a friend in me.
Yeah, Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn, possibly the oddest couple ever. Quite extraordinary thing to do, really, for Theresa May. The man that she has constantly barracked, constantly insulted, constantly derided, constantly given absolutely no time of the day to, is basically decided to get him to help her out of the Brexit muddle in which she finds herself. Felix says May knew Jeremy Corbyn would not agree a common position. This is just dropping the dead cat on the table. The real agenda is that May is erasing her red lines. And Flat Earther says our government is portraying to the world that our country is weak, incompetent, unable to govern itself, and is on its knees. But the truth is that it's just Parliament. Our country has never been in a stronger position financially. It is time for May to go now. I'm delighted to say that we are joined by our first MP of the day, Chris Bryant, Labour MP for Rhondda, has joined us. Chris, a very good morning to you. Welcome to the Tent of Shame.
Good morning. Now, I just want to take issue with you.
Do you?
As I have taken issue with the speaker, it's Rhondda.
Rhondda.
Double D is a TH.
Rhondda.
If I don't say that, my constituents will get very angry. You talked about the Odd Couple.
Yes.
I met Walter Matthau once.
Did you?
Because I wrote a biography of Glenda Jackson.
Right.
And he was fascinating, not least because he
Very funny man.
Very funny man. But he admitted to having signed the Stockholm Peace Pledge, which was a symbol of being a member of the Communist Party.
Right.
But deliberately doing it illegibly,
right.
So that nobody would know it was
him. So that McCarthy couldn't get him.
Exactly so.
Well, there's all sorts of principles that you can have, right?
Yes, many of like them, the ERG.
Well, indeed, like the ERG, like Jeremy Corbyn in some ways, some would say, because Jeremy Corbyn is all things to all men, isn't he? And indeed women. He can be, on the one hand, a Remainer. On the other hand, he can be a Leaver. He can be a socialist, and he can be a kind of a centrist. He's a man of many parts, is he not?
And many missions.
Yes. I mean, there is no way, right,
no, but,
that this
but
is going to
work.
No,
serious point here, which is that the Labour Party represents some of the most Remain voting seats and some of the most Leave voting seats. And that does pose a genuine, you know, in a democratic society, that poses a genuine set of challenges
it
for
does.
The Labour Party.
And Labour has risen to those challenges very well. Emily Thornberry says that you're Remainers in your hearts. And, of course, Barry Gardiner says that you're no longer the party of Remain.
Well, I'm not here to speak for the party. I can only speak for myself today, I'm afraid.
Luckily.
And I have said many times, I was a Remainer, I remain a Remainer, and I'll remain a Remainer until my dying day.
Indeed.
Unless I have
it's
to become a rejoiner.
That. Right. Well, the problem is, so let's talk about the matter at hand. The matter at hand being that Theresa May has finally decided that it's a good idea to seek guidance from colleagues in the House, and she's now going to sit down with Jeremy Corbyn and hatch a plan. I can't see what they can agree on, though, because he's presumably going to say to her, we would like to have a customs union attached to your agreement, and we would also like a referendum afterwards to make sure that the people still want to go down that road. Two things which she said she'll never do.
Yes, and but obviously, because she's now effectively, as one of your callers said earlier, erasing her red lines, which were in her manifesto in the last general election, it only stands to reason, Jeremy's argument only stands to reason, that if this is the route that we do now go down, we must put that to the British people for a final say, because they didn't have a say. That's not what they voted for in 2016. It's not what they voted for in 2017. So they should have the final say.
Well, of course, the people who did vote to leave the European Union say you have no idea why they voted, and you don't know what reason they used to vote. And they might say, actually, it doesn't matter why we voted. We voted, and we voted to leave. And so why are we not doing it?
Fine. But if Theresa May, as I understand it, is now saying she's open to the idea of a customs union, but she has repeatedly said in the House of Commons that both the Labour Party and the Conservative Party said that we would not be signing up to a customs union in our manifestos. I mean, she's not entirely right, but nonetheless, that's what she's kept on saying. If she's now erasing that red line, which I think would be a good thing, but nonetheless, that is clearly not what people voted for in the general election, so it should go back to the British people.
And it's certainly not what the Conservative Party stands for, by and large. I mean, there are very few members of the Conservative Party that want to have a customs union, because whenever it was voted upon, they very much strongly voted against it. The trouble is, of course, Chris, as you know better than anybody, this is a problem that is solved by no political party at all. I mean, I, for the first time yesterday, interviewing lots of different MPs, many of them Labour, yesterday were saying things like compromise is what we need, you know, consensus is what we need. And it was the first time, really, I'd heard people saying that they were moving away from their sort of very hard-line positions. And so I was quite hopeful yesterday
that something might be done. I've been saying it for a very long time, because I remember saying to David Davis, remember when he was the Brexit Secretary?
That long ago?
Yes,
no,
exactly.
I don't remember that.
I remember
no.
saying to him, look, if you really want to achieve a settlement that will last for generations rather than just a sticking plaster for the next, you know, to get you through the next year, you really will have to bring together the whole of the House, and that will mean consensus across the House. All these conversations should have happened before we triggered Article 50, not after. and so that we had a shared national position that we were taking forward to the European Union.
Yeah.
We didn't. And so now we are stuck with the worst government, I think, in history.
I would say a prime minister
that has, I mean, a cabinet that is clearly dysfunctional,
yeah,
because they all say things behind doors and then have to say something.
Well, tragically, yesterday, we were all waiting for the dreaded 8-hour meeting to finish so that we might find out what went on. But it was so boring that nobody even leaked anything after they got their phones back. They said nothing.
I think they're all in shock. It's a sort of catatonic shock.
I'm beginning to think that Theresa May has gone to some kind of Swiss clinic where they teach you how to sort of basically stun everybody and bore everyone into submission. It's not about winning an argument. It's just about going on and on and on for so long that people just go, okay, enough, I give in.
I think some people in the country have felt, and sometimes I felt this, a bit of sort of sympathy for Theresa May, but actually I don't anymore at all. Because her intransigence has been her biggest failing.
Yes.
Trees that do not bend snap in the end. Mm. And you know, I mean, I think there is a solution to all of this, which is if she tabled tomorrow my deal with, but it gets put to the British people, I would vote for that.
And a lot of people would vote for that as well. But the British people, a lot of them would feel betrayed then, because they would say, hang on, we already voted to leave once. Why is it, and I repeat this ad nauseam, and people who listen to this, yep, show will know it. Why is it that if you want to leave the European Union, you have to vote twice and win twice? If you want to stay in it, you only have to win it once.
Well, the truth is that what people voted for in 2016, who knows what was in each individual's heart? Mm. I don't know.
I don't think we can speculate.
No, we can't. But my anxiety is that we are hurtling towards no deal Brexit. I know there are lots of people that, because of the way Cameron and Osborne ran the campaign last time, which is all full of fear and all the rest of Project Fear, all that, they think that this is Project Fear now. But it is just true that when the police stop you now, they look you up, or your car number plate up, they use all the police intelligence across the whole of Europe. The moment we leave without a deal, they can no longer do that. And that puts us at risk on international crime, paedophilia and the rest.
Well, there's no reason why they can't restart that situation, but we haven't got time to get into all that, I'm afraid, because our time is of the essence.
Well, there is a reason you can't, but anyway.
No, there isn't. The reason I can't is because I have to go and pay the bills. That's why we have to stop. But if you want to hang around, we can talk about it some more.
Chris I'm not Brian. Paying your bills.
Why not? I'm paying yours, actually. That's the other way around, isn't it? Chris
Well,
Bryant's
I'm probably
here.
Paying yours indirectly by the companies.
I'm paying
that
yours through my taxes, mate. I can tell you that.
I pay Bryant. Taxes as well.
Yeah, well, not enough to fund your own lifestyle, though. Let's not go on there. This is not getting anywhere. Chris Bryant is here, and he's now going to pay my bills for me. Thank you very much indeed. This is Talk Radio.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Live from Westminster.
Order!
With rapier-sharp instant reaction from some of the biggest names in politics and journalism on Talk Radio.
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us.
Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn, hand in hand, dancing through the wheat field to that. And if you think of that as an image, it's hard to get it out of your head, really. I can't see this particular odd couple working in any way, shape or form. I can't see them finding a way through the Brexit stalemate in which we find ourselves. We were just talking there to Chris Bryant, Labour MP for Rhondda, as he told me to pronounce it. And he said, basically, that if she was to agree to a customs union and possibly to a referendum for people to verify what it is that the government and the Labour Party could come up with, that he would vote for it. And I'm sure a lot of other people would, but I can't see that happening. We're going to talk now, though, to Tom Brake, Lib Dem spokesman on Brexit, and, of course, the MP for Carshalton. Tom, welcome back to the Tent of Shame. I'd like to say that since I saw you here last, we've sort of moved on somehow, but we don't seem to have, really. And I really don't understand why Theresa May has suddenly decided that Jeremy Corbyn is the answer.
Well, you're right. We've been treading water on this issue now for months and months and months. I think what the Prime Minister may be seeking to do, I'm afraid, is that with literally hours to go before she has to give an explanation to the EU as to why she wants an extension, she is trying to engage Jeremy Corbyn and perhaps the other opposition parties, although she hasn't expressed an interest in talking to us. But I think this may be more about sharing the blame than it is actually trying to find a way forward.
But he's not that stupid, is he, Jeremy Corbyn? And why would he want to have his name added to the list of sort of rogues gallery informants, if you like, who will be blamed if it all goes horribly wrong? Surely for him, it's going to be a part of the game that he's continually played, which is to suggest that she does things that he knows she can't do. Thereby, they go nowhere and waste more of our time.
Well, yes, I think for him it would be a very, very high-risk venture if he were to help the Prime Minister deliver Brexit. So I'd be very, very surprised if at some point in the next few days he and she are there on the steps of Number 10 holding hands, waving a piece of paper that says, peace in our time.
Well, this is it. I mean, despite many times of asking and because of some of the things that even his own ministers have said contradictorily, we still don't really know what Labour's position is on Brexit. And he's kind of been reluctant all along to put his heart on the line, if you like.
Well, something that we will be pressing him to do if he is going to engage in conversation with the Prime Minister on this issue, and I do wish she had done this 1,000 days ago rather than now, pressing him to include a people's vote in those negotiations. It is, after all, his party policy, and I hope that will be reflected in any discussions that he might have with the Prime Minister.
Are you disappointed as a party that he didn't that the Prime Minister didn't ask Vince Cable to join in the conversation or have any kind of representation from your side?
Well, I understand what she's doing. What she's doing is trying to add sufficient MPs from another party to get her deal across the line. Clearly, if she gets Jeremy Corbyn on board, then she will have the numbers to get a deal through. And I guess that is part of her thinking, as well as, I believe, perhaps trying to get him to share the blame.
And as far as the whole kind of customs union scenario goes, which is what we seem to be trying to drag ourselves towards, certainly in the Houses of Parliament behind us there, is that something that the Lib Dems would go with? Or would you still stay staunchly on the outside saying, no, we don't want to leave?
Well, I'm in the same position. We're in the same position as Chris Bryant just set out, which is that although actually for the UK economy, the customs union is very bad, if a majority of MPs believe that's the way forward and it is linked to a people's vote, we would help that through, because we do have to have something to consider. But I mean, look at what the customs union...
But it's not leaving the EU at all, is it?
Well, what the customs union means is, if you look at Turkey, which is in exactly the same position as we would be if we secured just a customs union, Turkey has no say whatsoever in the trade deals that the EU agrees, but has to comply with them.
Yeah.
So we would be in that same position. I think for the United Kingdom, that would be a very bad position to be in.
Well, it's a pretty tough sell as well, isn't it, to tell the public, this is what we've done with your vote to leave.
But it's also a tough sell for business, because of course the customs union may address things to do with goods, but actually most of the UK economy is around services, overwhelmingly about services, and of course the customs union does nothing at all for that. So from a business point of view, in other words from a jobs point of view in the UK, the customs union is not the solution.
No, it really isn't. And also the problem for the future and going forward with the agreements is you know, we don't really know what's going to happen in the future to the European Union, to what they may decide to do over trade deals, over what other countries they might decide to co-opt. You know, I mean, people talk about a blindfold Brexit. I mean, that's about as blindfolded as you can get, isn't it?
Well, it is, and that's why, obviously, as you'll know, the Lib Dems, we're arguing to stay in the European Union, so at least we will be around the table when those trade negotiations take place. If we adopt a customs union approach, those negotiations will be happening, but we will have absolutely no say. We won't be around the table at all.
But this is where people smell a bit of a rat, I think, and I know you've got to run, so I'll keep this very short. The bottom line for me will be that if we were to get Corbyn and May around the table agreeing on a customs union deal, putting that then back to the people for a second referendum, you guys would be campaigning to remain, wouldn't you? And you'd be campaigning very hard to remain. And that, to a lot of people, would be absolutely unpalatable.
Well, yes, it would be. But at the same time, I think hopefully even you would agree, Mike, that...
even me. I love
that,
it.
That in the referendum campaign 3 years ago, no one said, who was arguing for Leave, customs union is what Leave means. And therefore, the public wouldn't have voted for that. No one was arguing for that. That if we end up with that as the offer, then I think that makes it legitimate to put it back to the people.
It may well do. We'll take the temperature of the public on that one. Tom, thank you very much indeed. Tom Brake there, from the Lib Dems, saying quite honestly and quite rightly that he thinks it would be necessary to put it back to the people if, in fact, a customs union deal is the one that we end up with. However, you'd have to say, would you not, if you voted Leave, you would at this point already feel pretty betrayed that that's the route we're going down, because I think everybody with an ounce of common sense really does understand that what was going on here is nothing to do with how we leave, it's how we stay. And basically all those people who are now sort of making noises about trying to attach the customs union to the agreement are doing so purely because they don't want to leave.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The fallout, the fury, the future.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Live from Westminster.
Order!
On Talk Radio.
So here we are. The world always looks a brighter place when Katy Perry is sitting next
to me.
I've
missed you.
A very good morning to you, Ms.
Perry. Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us. Jim Fitzpatrick's with us as well. Jim, a friend of the show, likes to come into the Tent of Shame whenever he can. Today, at least the sun is shining, but it's patchy, which is very much a bit like the political landscape, isn't it? I mean, what on earth is Jeremy Corbyn going to do when he sits down with Theresa May in the room and tries to come up with some idea of what they can agree on?
Well, I don't see why it's such a surprise. If you looked at what Labour were asking for right at the start, they wanted a customs union, not the customs union. They wanted a trade arrangement. They wanted security protocols. They wanted to protect the Good Friday Agreement, and they wanted an implementation period. The withdrawal agreement covers all of those aspects.
Well, why do they keep voting against it?
Well, what we're talking about is emphasis. Jeremy's saying he wants more clarity on a customs union and he wants greater surety on workers' rights, which the Prime Minister and government from a dispatch box has already committed itself to.
Right.
So again, we're talking about the language and we're talking about the wording. So I don't think it's beyond the bounds of possibility that they could actually arrive at a conclusion which is acceptable to both sides, because it's quite clear the Prime Minister cannot get a deal relying only on her own side, because the ERG hardliners and the DUP won't play ball. Therefore, she has to look in the other direction, and half the Parliamentary Labour Party would support a softer Brexit, and I think that's what she's now trying to achieve.
Right. And in some ways, Katie, I kind of have a little bit of admiration for her, because she's basically stuck two fingers up to the ERG and the DUP, which maybe she should have done a lot longer ago, to actually find a bit of common ground. You might remember many moons ago when I said to you, surely what we should be doing here is getting people together who believe in Brexit, who want Brexit, from all parties, put them in charge of making it happen. Effectively, now she's finally doing what I told her to do.
Good point. I mean, one of the things I think Jim may have missed out about what Jeremy Corbyn wants is he wants his hands completely off of Brexit, and he wants the Conservative Party to basically sweat it out and crash and burn over the next kind of 6 to 12 months. Mm. And then he wants to ride to the rescue to say that he's a Prime Minister who can be against the austerity measures from the previous Conservative government and come and rescue the day. He does not want to be anywhere near this. And why would you, quite frankly?
No, exactly.
And so I think that Theresa May has done something quite clever, although quite possibly you're right, Mike, we should have done this several weeks ago. Very clever to bring him into the mess and say, look, mate, we've gone down every other route possible. We've asked parliamentarians to come up with something. We have failed as a Conservative Party. Parliament has failed collectively to come to some kind of agreement. You cannot escape from this. You cannot walk away from getting yourself... You have a responsibility. You're leader of the opposition. I think it's a little bit of a trap, Mike.
It could well be a trap, but then presumably he's a smart enough guy to see that it's a trap, but to see that he has to take part in the process, right? Would he not, if he was a smart guy, then ask for things that he knows he can't, that she can't give? For example, a confirmatory vote for a second referendum, because she surely can't agree to that, can she?
Well, I think it's interesting, and I don't disagree with Katie's analysis at all. Many of us thought that the big mistake was that she didn't reach out much earlier. This was a 52-48 decision. It was clearly never going to satisfy everybody. There should have been a national approach, maybe national negotiations, but having extended the offer to Jeremy, this morning he's saying he understands his responsibility. I think Jeremy, being the Eurosceptic that he has always been, would have been much happier not to have his fingers fingerprints on any kind of Brexit deal. I think now he realises if this is going to be resolved, he has to take that responsibility and play his part. It was interesting that Rebecca Long Bailey, being interviewed this morning, said if Labour is able to secure a decent enough agreement with the government, she doesn't see why it would have to go to a confirmatory vote. And in that instance, they avoid the second referendum, which has always been Jeremy's difficulty, that half the shadow cabinet and between 70 to 100 Labour MPs do not support a second referendum. So he will have to get his hands dirty. And I think this is a real test of Jeremy about what he can deliver for the country, not just for the party, because he's been pointing the finger at the Prime Minister, rightly in many people's eyes, that she's been more concerned about keeping the Conservative Party together than the country. Now she's saying country first. Jeremy now has to say country first.
He's also going to have his own problems, Katie, isn't he, convincing the Labour Party? Because, of course, we've seen plenty of members of the Labour Party, Owen Smith amongst them, who stood against him for the leadership some time ago, who is a staunch Remainer, does not want to leave the European Union. We've also had Emily Thornberry appearing on television at the weekend saying, in our hearts we are Remainers in the Labour Party. I mean, you know, he's got a lot of people to persuade, hasn't he?
Well, it suited him really well up until now to have his fingerprints off of Brexit, not just because he wants to give the Tories enough rope, but because his party is as split on the issue as anybody else. But that's understandable. Parliament's split on the issue, the parties themselves are split, and the country itself is divided. And so he doesn't really want to wash his dirty linen in public and have those rows out on radio stations and programmes like yours, Mike, where members of the Labour Party are kind of, you know, red on red, arguing about the pros and cons of a second referendum. And he wanted to keep that contained, and he probably tried a lot of the times to say to his own party, look, you know, let them have those problems, not us. Keep that within ourselves. I wonder that round that cabinet table, you know, all of those cabinet ministers yesterday, and no one is yet reminded. What have they been resigned? What have they been promised?
Well, we've had one resignation this morning, haven't we?
We've had Nigel Adams go, the Welsh minister.
Right. We've got the klaxon ready for the next
who's
one.
He's only been in the job for a little while. I don't think that that's a massive resignation in terms of the fact that the government's going to lose someone that has been in the job for a very long time, that's like entrenched in the role. But I wonder if around the cabinet table she may well have said, look, right, this is an opportunity that if we do have to go to an election at some point and we are faced with something in the future we don't want to do, this is an opportunity to really, really pin Jeremy Corbyn's colours to the mast, understand exactly what his Brexit process is, what exactly he wants to achieve, how he's massively at odds with his own party on several of these aspects. And I think that, you know, she would almost have said, look, guys, we can be smart about this, we can be a little bit cleverer. We don't find ourselves with absolutely no options. We're running out of options. There are still some left, and one of them is to do over Jeremy Corbyn in the process.
Yeah, and Jim, I mean, obviously there's not many people in the Tory party who won an election. What's the Labour position on that? I mean, the polls are showing that maybe Corbyn would win, but not by enough to really form a proper government.
Well, Labour is keen to get a general election as soon as possible, and the leadership are supremely confident that we would win. When you look at...
But not by much, though, right?
Well, if you look at the 2017 general election, when we were 20 points down, we came away with a score draw away from home. We didn't win, but we certainly didn't lose.
Right.
And in that instance, I think they
would be
encouraged.
Although technically you actually did lose. I know what you mean.
No, I accept that.
But all of your colleagues do, Jim.
Well, I certainly do. where we were starting from, it didn't feel like a defeat.
No.
It's when you're
3-0
down.
You're right. It did. I mean, Theresa May felt like she lost, even though she didn't.
You're 3-0 down, you end up with a score draw, you think that was a great result. It's a result. But it wasn't a win, and I accept that. But of course, having started with 20 points down and having fought to a score draw, Labour is thinking at this point in time, if we are on level pegging, or as one or two of the polls at the weekend said, we're up to 5 points ahead, we're starting in a much better position. And given how badly the Prime Minister performed at the last general election, there would be optimism in Labour ranks to say we can actually score a bigger result. And then in that instance, Labour is keen to see a general election, but it needs a two-thirds majority in the Commons. And I don't think the Conservative Party will vote for it.
I don't think they want one.
But
also, what I'm seeing as well, Katie, and you'll probably be seeing this as well, certainly on social media, people that call my show are basically saying things like, we're never voting for the two main parties again. We've been completely and utterly betrayed, either by the Labour Party for delaying the leaving of the European Union, for the Tory Party for messing it all up. You know, they feel betrayed by the whole Brexit process. I mean, and that's a worry, isn't it, for the political system?
It's a real worry, because what happens often in that scenario is that extremists get involved. Yeah. And so you get the Tommy Robinsons of one side of the party, and then you get momentum from the other side of the political divide. And actually, what we do know is really, you know, where you win is mostly from the centre. It doesn't matter what way you look at it. One way we disagree, Jim, on Jeremy Corbyn's stance is that I don't think he does want a general election now.
Oh, really?
I think it's all talk about an election now, because first of all, why would you want to take over now when Brexit's not in the bag one way or another? You're going to be the one that negotiates with the EU and tries to carry the country.
Isn't it the fact, though, that you always want to be the Prime Minister?
No matter what, I mean, that's the game, isn't it? In normal politics, definitely. I mean, you know, Gordon Brown's wanted to be Prime Minister since he was born. You know, Theresa May's wanted to be Prime Minister since she was in her
teens. Look how it turned out for him.
You know, in normal politics, yes, but this is not normal times. And I think that Jeremy Corbyn is a 30-year, lifelong outside campaigner. He's anti-establishment. He doesn't see himself as someone that's going to be opening that black door of number 10, but he's going to sock it to the Conservative Party to make it very difficult for them to do. And he's going to lead his party, potentially, in the next few years, where he tries to find someone he can hand over. I actually don't think Jeremy Corbyn wants to be Prime Minister. He's not shown any kind of indication over the last year where he could a couple of times have really socked it to the Conservative Party and taken Prime Minister, potentially taken Prime Minister down. His handling of the anti-Semitism crisis, no way is that kind of leadership material that is destined for number 10.
He does seem uneasy with the sort of number one position, Jim, doesn't he? I mean, even down to the point where when you watch him being interviewed, he's got a bit better lately, but he's got this kind of, you know, visage of grumpiness. He doesn't like to be asked questions. He doesn't feel as though it's anybody's right to put him on the spot. But he's not very charming, you know, all of that.
I accept that, mate, but what you see with Jeremy is what you get. He's never had personal ambition. I mean, he only stood to be leader of the Labour Party because it was his turn.
Yeah.
Because everybody else in the campaign group had a go, and it was Jeremy's turn
I wish you'd told Owen Smith that, because he really wants to be Prime
Minister.
Now he isn't
the number one spot. It is not personal ambition which drives him. It is political ambition. And the left in the Labour Party, having taken over and have consolidated their grip on the party, they want now to do to the country what they've done to the party and transform it.
That's bad news, isn't it? That sounds horrendous.
Transform it the way they think the country
that
should
sounds
run.
Painful, that.
Jeremy Corbyn is their prisoner.
Yeah.
He's a prisoner of the left, of the Labour Party. I don't think he wants to do it. I don't think he wants to do the job anymore. His family certainly don't want him to be in that job anymore. They've said several times, you know, you've had comments in various books and things saying, give me my father back. Those kind of comments. He's been held prisoner by the left of his party because they realise that once Jeremy Corbyn goes, they don't really have someone with the same level of adoration within their side of the party that Jeremy Corbyn currently has. He, you know, we talked in the past about Theresa May being a puppet of the Conservative Party, puppet of a henchman before, you know, being told what to do from number 10. Jeremy Corbyn's that from the far left.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Because you've got the Tom Watson faction of the Labour Party, and in many ways he may be more ambitious personally to be Prime Minister than Jeremy Corbyn. How is that sort of struggle going within the party?
Well, I think it's reflecting what's happening in the country to a certain extent. If we were able to get rid of the fog of Brexit, which is obscuring all the domestic issues, if we had a general election on the issues that Labour wants to fight on, which is public services, which is a real end to austerity, which is dealing with executive pay, which is getting the railways to run on time, to make sure the NHS has got the resources it has. If we focus on the domestic issues, there's an appetite in the country for change. It's only Brexit which is preventing that from coming through, which I think is another very solid position for Labour. When it comes to a general election, people will want to change. I think Katie's point about the threat of extremists moving in and filling the vacuum because they see Labour and Conservatives letting them down is a real one. But if we can get past Brexit and focus on the domestic issues, I think Labour's platform is much stronger than the Conservatives.
But what point does the Labour Party realise that with any other political leader other than Jeremy Corbyn, they'd probably smash it? They'd probably, you know, be 10 to 15 points ahead in the polls, minimum. They will win the next general election. At what point do they dump him?
I think if Jeremy was read the right act, as the Prime Minister has had her fortune read to her over the past month, Jeremy would walk away tomorrow. Jeremy's still there because Jeremy is a real asset. Jeremy is a cult figure for the mass of the membership. He gets fantastic reviews wherever he turns up in the country. People turning up in their thousands, even tens of thousands, wanting selfies taken. I mean, Jeremy is, notwithstanding all the deficits in his personality, the lack of personal ambition, the inability to project that self into interviews, the grumpiness, all of the negatives, are outweighed by the positives. And in that instance, Jeremy will stay as long as people want him to stay. If Jeremy's told by the likes of Len McCluskey and his inner cabinet that actually, Jeremy, you're now holding us back from moving forward, Jeremy would go, because personal ambition is not what drives him.
Okay. Jim, thanks very much indeed. Jim Fitzpatrick, Katie Perrier, I'm not sure if you can, but if you can, do hang around. It'd be bad news for me if the Labour Party get into power, because half the front bench have blocked me on Twitter, so I wouldn't know what they were doing half the time. But there we are. That's what you get for disagreeing with the Labour Party.
In good times, in bad times, I'll be on your side forevermore.
Now, this is not conjuring up any images for me at all. We've already had the one of Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn now around the fountain with friends. We've already had the one of them running through a wheat field together, holding hands in the sunshine. I like those two images. That one really doesn't conjure it up. But they are the oddest couple in politics now, Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn. They're going to sneak off into a room later on this afternoon and try to come to some arrangement, the like of which I suspect we've never seen before. I'm joined now, though, by Mark Dolan, the comedian and raconteur, I suppose is the best way to introduce you, isn't it?
Well, look, Michael, I try. If you and I were to sort of be... I don't know, if there was a shorthand for us as a partnership,
yeah,
we might be quite an unusual couple.
An unusual couple, no. Yeah, but nobody is odd, really, as Jeremy Corbyn and Theresa May.
Two individuals who, more or less, each of them in their different ways, have a major personality disorder.
Yeah, they do. I mean, not an ounce of charisma between them, right?
No, I mean, Theresa May is not, she's not unintelligent.
No.
And she certainly has a work ethic. But there's just something wrong with her as a human being.
Yeah, there is.
I mean, she first of all, cannot communicate. This.
Right.
Do you know her deal? I mean... It's outstanding. It's a coup. But can she sell it?
But she can't
sell
it.
Not.
But she hasn't tried to sell it.
Unemployment is so low now,
yeah,
that there are some statisticians that are calling it zero employment.
Is that right?
Or full employment.
Right.
Because the bottom line is, the economy
well, anything
not
below,
in recession.
I mean, technically anything below 5% is relatively full employment.
Bingo, bingo. So, but look, there you go. So we've actually, since she got in, I mean, communication is not her strong point. And you've realised, and I think whoever takes over, by the way, can we just have someone that is able to sell what they're doing?
Yes.
I cannot believe I'm sat here outside Parliament with you, harking back to the days of Tony Blair,
I know,
Mr Campbell, and Spin.
I know. Well, that's the camera just over there. He just
Do you
walked
know
past
why?
Me.
Because they got stuff done.
Well, they did get stuff done. I mean, people are now hideously against Tony Blair in a way that I think is actually quite unfair.
Yeah.
And I'll get now pelters on Twitter for saying that. But I've always been a great admirer of Tony Blair's in terms of what he did to change the way that government was done, to change the way society was done as well, in many ways.
Well, the real... Yeah. Of course, it's transformative.
Yeah.
And do you know the biggest thing as well? There's this line about the Queen, by the way, which is the greatest legacy of the Queen.
Yeah.
She's not done much over the decades, but the monarchy still being there is her legacy.
Yeah.
Right? Tony Blair.
Well, you say she hasn't done much. I mean, she's presided over an awful lot of stuff that's gone on around her, and you'd have to say that you wouldn't know that she had her fingerprints anywhere near it. But she may well have.
Well, it's a good point. And also, her mood music after Diana's death was maybe sort of not the best PR, but she never really put her foot in it. And I think for Labour, and I think actually Corbyn should take a leaf out of Tony Blair's book, which is winning three elections, that's an end in itself. It was a sustained period
yes.
for in power for Labour. It's funny because people always go, Tony Blair was good except for the Iraq War.
Yeah.
If you take the Iraq War away,
right.
he was great. But that's a bit like saying my neighbour Steve's a great guy. Apart from being a wife beater, he's a terrific bloke.
Well, I mean, I think you're being slightly unfair to him. But I mean, I blame Alistair Campbell for the Iraq War, to be honest, because he was the one that sexed up the dossier.
Well,
even though he says he didn't. I blame him for that.
They were so good at spin and they were so good at messaging. I mean, they nailed it.
I mean, I remember watching Colin Powell at the UN pointing to pictures of what looked like the North Circular Road to me, saying, and I'm like, there's no chance that they've got any weapons of mass destruction. They can't even make a car.
Yeah. No, that's right.
You know, they have no capability to do anything.
I remember a double page pullout in the Sun where they had the sort of map of where they would be. And I, just from reading the Sun, I was satisfied there were no WMDs.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Well,
and that's when the Sun was like about 25p. So it
yes,
literally
in black
cost
and white.
Me less than a pound to get the intelligence.
And probably in black and white.
Well,
that's where Alistair Campbell got it from as well, to be fair. I mean, in fact, he drew it and put it in there. Because in those days, everyone did what Alistair Campbell wanted. Otherwise, he threatened to get them fired.
So then there's Jeremy Corbyn, who is... you touched on it earlier in your your show, which is that he doesn't really want to be Prime Minister.
He doesn't really even want to be leader, I don't think, of the Labour Party.
He'd like to be out there with the banners. That's his habitat.
Yeah.
You know.
Funnily enough, there's a protest going on down here at the moment, and it's one of those protests you wouldn't want anything to do with because nobody knows what they're protesting about. And when we were told what they were protesting about, we had never heard of it. It's something to do with loan charges or something like that. Something to do with HMRC. Something to do with the tax man, right?
That's right.
So I don't know what the hell they're protesting here for. They should be up the road.
They needed a strategy.
Well, they really did. And also, when you have to explain to people what it is you're against, then it's really not a good time, is it?
It's not great. And also, but what about these people who I think are glorified, the protesters? Should we listen to them? No. What are they doing? What day is it today?
It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday at 5 to 1. Why aren't they working? I'm interested in hearing the people who've
got
businesses and jobs.
Yes.
People who are at toil like you are.
Yeah.
You know, as nation's servant.
It's not people. I mean, whenever I say I have a job, people say that's not a job. It's not.
Well, I'm not feeling that at all.
Talk for 3 hours. I mean, the amount of work that goes into this show, you would not believe. I'm up all hours.
Listen, your handover with Julia Hartley Brewer at 5 to 10 is enough to justify your fears.
Thank you very much.
Do you know what I mean?
Very kind.
Seriously, by the way, love Julia. Now, there's a couple of things I want to throw in just as some light relief.
Because we haven't got a lot of time left, you know that.
I just need to point out that you and I went out drinking on.
Well, we didn't actually go out drinking.
Well, that's how I'm spinning it.
No,
that's
we found ourselves in the same. We found ourselves in the same establishment.
Yeah,
completely, quite by accident, in fact.
Yeah, was that? Can we say where it was?
We can.
It was the iconic Groucho Club. Yeah. Media Club. By the way, Mike Graham, man of the people.
Yeah, I'm not a member, by the way. If
it's
in
like
case
11 quid for a bottle of Beck's.
Are you a member? Are you a member?
I am a member.
You see,
I mean,
he's accusing me of being a snob, right? But you're the member. I'm not.
Listen, I'm the liberal elite.
I was working there.
I'm proud of it.
I was working there.
I'm out of touch.
Amongst the liberal elite, I was invited in to the hallowed halls.
So a couple of things to say. It's a thrill. I'm Mike Graham's number one fan. And but to go to a bar with Mike, I mean, you are in safe hands if you are in a bar, any kind of hostelry establishment with Mike Graham. That's like being in a velodrome with Sir Bradley Wiggins.
It's true. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like he knows his way around a bar. And the best thing I'll share that with your listeners is your choice of drink. So, what would he drink? I'm thinking maybe Cabernet Sauvignon, you know what I mean? Maybe a whiskey. Sambuca.
Yeah, Sambuca, yeah.
Right. Now
but they didn't have the black Sambuca.
Need to help you with this. That is a hen party drink.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm gender fluid. Me.
Looks like you were a bit by the end of the night.
Yeah, I had two. You insisted on me having a second one.
I did. I plied you.
More than one over the edge, I would say. But the reason I wasn't drinking wine was I'd had loads of wine already.
Okay.
So normally what happens is if I'm stopping to have... I was expecting to leave, saw you, stopped... And now you're turning me over on my own show.
I'm afraid
as a result of that.
It's just a good...
Anyone I won't make that mistake again.
...that wants to, you know, counter any of your polemical arguments.
Yes.
They could just say, just Sambuca?
Just get me
really,
a Sambuca.
Mike?
Yeah, why not? Well, listen, you never know. The next time I come and see you, it might be a Cointreau. Or
really?
A Grumarnier.
Cointreau on ice. Keep it simple.
No, I generally just do it straight, actually. Not on ice, really, so much.
This is a revelation. I don't even want to go there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think in the Independent Republic of Mike Graham...
The thing that most disturbs me is that you're a member of the Groucho Club, and yet you've never invited me there.
Yeah, that's awkward, actually.
That is awkward.
I've got to say.
Yeah, since you're my number one fan.
Well,
I'm now starting to question that.
I'm married with kids, and I'm not allowed out anymore.
Well, you weren't out with your wife, though,
man.
Were you?
No.
You were with three women, none of whom was your wife.
This chat is not going
well.
No. Expect
See,
it
you don't
go.
Ever want to turn on me, because it never ends
this
well.
This is more awkward than Jeremy Corbyn and Theresa May sharing
one
a
One of them was way too old, though, for you, so I wouldn't worry about her.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I hope they're not listening. I don't have the energy for that kind of thing. I tell you, one partner in my life is plenty.
Yes, I agree with that.
As my
anyway,
young
listen,
German
Mark,
wife
lovely,
will tell
thanks
you.
For dropping in.
Loved and, it. Thank you, MG.
I'll
keep up the great
I'll
work.
I'll see you soon, yeah.
Definitely.
For a
Sambucas are on me.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
If you enjoyed that, be sure to catch the whole show 10 to 1, Monday to Friday on Talk Radio, via DAB, online or via the Talk Radio app. If you have an opinion on the stories we cover, we'd love to hear from you. Call us 0344 499 1000 or tweet at Talk Radio during the show to have your say.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio. Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.